We on? 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Lisa Beats Your Meat, episode 19. Tonight's episode, we're going to talk about something near and dear to Jimmy and I's heart. Isn't that right, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's something that we experience almost every day.
Yep. We're going to talk about school lunches.
Yes.
Child lunches. Food that our children, aka students, are eating.
Yeah, school lunches affect everyone, not just parents, not just teachers, but something that we're all paying for regardless.
Yeah.
And something that's a big part of our communities, regardless of whether or not you have kids.
Well, and most people have kids, but if they don't have kids now, maybe you will have kids. Maybe you know of a child somewhere. Most likely, they're eating food at school, and we want to talk about that. But first, we'll give you a rundown of, what's going on. One, I want to tell you that Jimmy right now is in what is this thing called? A brace?
Yeah, I think it's a brace.
Brace and, with his knee wrapped
some
up.
Some kind of ace bandage.
Yeah. Jimmy had knee surgery on Wednesday. The cartilage was messed up.
Articular cartilage damage.
Uh-huh. And then his meniscus was also torn, so he had to go get surgery. And it was an elective surgery that we both thought was needed to keep continuing on with an active lifestyle.
Yeah, keep in mind I hurt myself in November, so
you're just now getting it fixed.
You often
make
accuse
fun of
me of being a wimp, but
I never.
I put this off for a year because I didn't want to look wimpy.
Oh my God. Well, you're not doing a good job of it.
Well, yeah. So they went in, they did a lot of stuff to my knee, and I'm completely
immobile.
So this is day 4 of being in my home.
Yeah. He's dying.
In a car, not stepping outside besides sticking my head out the window.
So it's fall, just started yesterday or the day before that. And for some reason, where we are, it's 90 degrees. So you can't even go outside because it's 1,000 degrees.
I wouldn't anyways. But yeah, I'm on crutches. I can't move very quickly.
No.
But it's given me a lot of time to read books and watch TV and scour the internet.
Reflect on your life.
Try to get podcast followers.
Yeah, so that's cool. What else is going on? Do you want to talk about food? I made some chocolate chip cookies today. They were vegan, but they weren't good for you. They were just really good.
Yeah, they were really good. I don't think if you had any hits this week.
Well,
it's kind of
in
a weird
pizza
week because I was messed up. Yeah, the pizza was good and it was probably healthy, right?
Yeah. I figured out if you were listening to the last episode, I wasn't using coconut flour to make my cheese more firm and has that stretchy kind of consistency. Tapioca flour. It's a thickening agent, especially if you get it heated up. It makes the cheese, my nut cheese. So I made cashew cheese. It made that, my nut cheese. Sounds ridiculous. But it made it really stretchy. I don't know. I warmed it. I made a pizza and I put it on the pizza and then I baked it, obviously, and it made it. It was literally tasted like mozzarella.
Tapioca
flour.
Flour.
Yeah, I'm getting deep into the cheese making.
What is tapioca?
I think those are the little balls in tapioca pudding.
Is that
I don't
a
know.
Vegetable?
I don't know. But don't you know tapioca pudding?
I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it. But I don't know. Tapioca flour. What else did I make? Anything good this week? It's kind of a blur.
You made some great chipotle the other day.
Yeah, that chipotle I made was really good.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, but moving on.
Oh, what was the salad you made today?
Oh, a Caesar salad. No. Today? Chickpea salad. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I made a curried chickpea salad. That's basic. Yeah, chickpea. That's like chicken salad, like curried chicken salad, but using chickpeas instead of it. Sorry. That's not that interesting.
I'm impressed by all these things, but
moving on. So that was food. That wasn't a really good rundown. What else? So soon, not maybe the next episode, maybe that episode after that, or it is the next episode.
That'd be 20. That's possible.
20. On our 20th episode, we are going to be interviewing I'm pretty sure he's a legit celebrity now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nathan Runkel. He is the the founder and president and head honcho of Mercy for Animals, if you've ever heard of Mercy for Animals. He started it, and his people, he just wrote a book, and so he's going to talk with us about his new book.
Guess what it's called?
Damn it. What is it called?
Mercy for Animals.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, he's going to talk with us. I think we're going to do it this Wednesday, so that'll be out maybe like by Friday or so. But Nathan Runkle, he's legit. He's like big time.
He is big time, and he's started it all here in Central Ohio, but it's an international corporation now that does
worldwide
insanely cool things all over the world, and I'm really excited to talk to him about it. And I think we'll probably talk a lot about what he does beyond just his interview, just because it's a place we haven't gotten to yet, which is a place where a lot of people begin, and that's animal cruelty and kind of what goes on inside factories.
Yeah. So he sends people in to factories or whatever.
House,
yeah. And
not even slaughterhouses, just where they keep, you know, dairy cattle and
so farms.
Yeah.
And then they come back with evidence of what's going on. And usually it's horrific stuff that I feel like sometimes breaks certain protocol, right?
Oh, yeah, most of the time.
So, like, most of these factory farms are against, like, certain laws that are in place.
Yeah, from what I'm understanding, and again, we can talk a lot more about this in our next podcast, but they haven't come across, and this is not just them, but any of these activist organizations that illegally enter into these properties, they haven't come across one that isn't doing things illegally.
Right.
Like, there's zero examples.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'd be glad to share them if they came across them.
Sorry, that was a really close gunshot.
Yeah, there's some really weird noises happening outside.
There's just gunfire going on outside of our home.
We live in an up-and-coming neighborhood.
Jesus, that was kind of scary.
That was
okay.
Three or four.
Literally, that was in a rec yard.
But anyways, that's a super big deal.
Let's lock the doors to shield us from the gunshots.
Is it not locked? Go lock.
Jesus, pause. There's a fucking gunfight.
Okay, anyways. I had to lock the doors.
So we could shield ourselves from gunshots. Anywho, next episode, we're going to speak with Nathan Runkle. Who, again, is the head of MFA, big shot man, and he's going to talk with us.
We'll probably be moving towards a few episodes discussing animal cruelty. So if you have any questions or insight or anything along those lines, definitely share them with us as we're kind of preparing for these next few shows. Something that I've never explored before. It's never been on the forefront of what's convinced me to be.
Because it's super sad.
It is, and it's something that's easy to ignore, but
I don't ignore it.
That's coming soon, so be ready for that.
So let's talk about today's episode.
Yes,
let's talk about
lunches.
Some cruelty we're doing to students.
To humans, yeah.
Segway.
And we're paying for it, too.
Yeah.
Just a couple facts, I guess. Well, first of all, if you don't know this, Lisa and I are both high school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 10th year, and you're in your 9th?
I've been teaching for like 2 years. I just got out of college.
Oh, yeah, I mean your second year.
I'm a student teacher.
We've been exposed to this our whole lives. Everyone has gone to school, public or private. You've been exposed to some kind of cafeteria atmosphere.
Yeah, and I feel like kids eating lunch at school, like the school provided lunch, is not necessarily like a socioeconomic thing. Because there's some, like, James, my stepson, your son, he eats school lunch, and he's not in, like, he could pack a lunch, but it's more about a convenience, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not necessarily like, oh, I have to get this lunch. It's just, that's a convenient option that kids take advantage of, that families take advantage of. And it's not a good, program.
Yeah, it's not. And a lot of what we're going to talk about heads more in the more impoverished school programs. And we work for a school where I think it was 97% are free and reduced lunch.
So they all get free lunches.
So, yeah. So, they just waive it and make it 100% free lunch. That's fairly common. So, we're not talking about...
Well off.
Yeah. Right? But, I mean, like you said, the school that James goes to is a really great school that costs a good amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I would say that a lot of things we're talking about here also apply to what he eats on a daily basis. Yeah. Now, there are some exceptions out there, and I think we'll probably end with that. The places that are doing it right and some ideas that we can do moving forward. But what we're really going to focus on is, and I'll throw some numbers at you really quick. 32 million kids in the U.S. Get lunch that's backed by a national school lunch program. And 21 million of those kids are on free and reduced lunch. So kids that are going to school and getting lunch from their cafeteria, like I did,
I packed.
all through school?
And I started packing my lunch when I was in the first grade.
Oh, wow. I mean, I think it's...
peanut butter jelly, an apple, and like some carrots.
Sorry about that.
That was my lunch. And I made that peanut butter jelly sandwich every single day.
I think with our kids, it's more common for them to... well, I think it's more common for a high school kid to not eat the high school food.
Right.
Where we work in an inner city, they're not allowed to leave, and they don't bring anything. So all of our kids, if they are going to eat, they're eating something they found within our building.
Well, but... God, this could be like four episodes because the eating habits of our children are so enraging because the food that they are provided, they get breakfast and lunch for free, basically, if they come to school. And that's an issue in itself because if these kids aren't coming to school, they're not going to be getting really... there's a lot of cases where they don't get that kind of food anywhere, like at home. Yeah. So they come to school expecting to get a breakfast and lunch. And those breakfasts and lunches are deficient in nutrition, completely void of any, like, I mean, it, for so many reasons, and I don't want to, like, throw, like, the lunch ladies under the bus, but for so many reasons, there's a lot of problems with the school breakfast and lunch. But say they don't want to eat those foods, then they go to, like, the vending machine and get crappy stuff that, or they beg a teacher to get, like, a pop out of the staff lounge or something. Like, they are basically, they have no options to be eating healthy at school whatsoever.
And we see it at the high school level, but at the younger level, but even up through high school, the saddest part here is this is where we're forming the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
We're trying to teach them real life habits, whether it's, you know, being organized, being decent to people around you, being able to learn and acquire information, be active in gym class, and then
we just eat drop the shitty ball. Garbage.
And we'll tell them in health class what to eat, but when they go to lunch, we will not serve them anything healthy. There's options of things that could potentially be healthy, they're not. They're disgusting.
So, like, they go over the menu every day in the morning, and I don't want to just use our school as an example because, like I said, I think that our lunch staff really does try to make something out of nothing, but they're not really given the best foods to begin with. It's not their fault.
Tell you how we got there.
Right. Do you want to?
Yeah. Sorry. Finishing your thought?
No, I just am going to get ahead of myself because I feel like this is a really important subject.
Well, let's. Yeah, it is. And I think we could talk about it pretty deep. But let's see. This is where their food comes from.
Okay.
This is how we got to this part as a country. This historical journey I'm going to take you on. I'm just kidding. This little background here.
You get my backpack.
Has a lot to do with everything that we've talked about, but we're just talking about school lunches. So anyways, during World War I, farmers are encouraged to increase production. The government's going to buy their food.
Yeah, that's where corn subsidies came from, right?
Yeah, so like I said, there's a ton of stuff that came from this, even our checkoff programs. The government's trying to encourage production. So the farmers, they can't sell the food fast enough. Whatever they produce, it's going to be bought up by the government at a great price. So they forget everything and they just start acquiring as much land as they possibly can. And they're just expanding way beyond their means, going deeply into debt to do this. And as the war dies down, and you have some ups and downs through World War II also, but as this all dies down after World War I and then completely dies down after World War II, you have a tremendous amount of surplus. So these farmers are producing way more food than we need or than the country needs.
Right.
And then...
so the government comes in and they're like, it's okay, guys. I'll buy it from you.
Sort of, yeah. First, it became like an issue that during the Great Depression, the government was almost trying to hide the fact that these farmers were having to just throw away, you know, millions and millions and millions of pounds of food. Because
they did that during the Great Depression.
Exactly. See, your anger is
up.
Was the people's anger. So what would you expect from your government?
Give me that food for free.
Yes, exactly. And that's where the school lunch program came from. So people were pissed that these private businesses were producing too much and had nothing to do with it. The government was trying to help them kind of get rid of it or get it to the people. And now you have government involved. So the government would buy large amounts of surplus from these farmers and pump it into the school lunch program to feed kids.
Okay, but not to play devil's advocate, but to play devil's advocate. After the surplus was gone, couldn't they just be like, don't make that much?
Well, no, because this is business.
So once the government started buying it, they just kept their production as is?
Well, they could. This is one thing our government hasn't done a good job of over the past, you know, 50 years or 100 years. They could say, sorry, your business model is shitty. Your business is going to suffer. Too bad. But in this particular instance, the way you just got a little bit frustrated, when you say that to a company, when people are starving, their business is falling apart because they're overproducing. What do you do with that food?
And no, I'm saying like once the overproduction is done, can't they go back to what the demand is? We have an oversupply.
And once they buy up the surplus and get it out there, they could. But
cut down the production to meet the supply. Supply and demand, man.
Yeah, but when you produce a fake demand that keeps the supply coming, that's where it gets tricky. Because these are private businesses. They have to please Wall Street, even today. So this is where it gets so crazy today. Our country produces 2 times as much food as we need, like calorically, twice the calories that every single human being in America needs. We produce.
We produce twice as much as we need.
Yeah. And these are businesses. These are not just, you know, government-run programs. These are private businesses that have boards, and they have Wall Street, and they have stock investors. And any private business not only wants to see consistency, they want to see growth. Mm-hmm. On a yearly basis, if your company is not growing, you're not getting new investors, and your private business is not flourishing. So it becomes this giant excess, which you can see now when you walk down the street. Just look at people.
Yes.
All of that extra food is inside of everyone. And that's not excluding kids, especially public school kids in struggling communities.
Yeah. So school lunches are provided by the government from a surplus of food that was left over after World War I, discounted food. So given to children. But if it's discounted food, what I don't get is because I read that it was like $1 a meal for like a lunch. Like a school lunch is $1 a meal. If these are discounted foods, how come the lunch has to be so cheap?
Well, the U.S. government, so like our school that's 100% free and reduced lunch. And some schools are, you know, maybe 5%. Regardless, the government will reimburse you $2.77 per lunch. Now, in a school like ours, that does not include, you know, everything.
That's not just the lunch. That's like the lunch lady. That's the logistics of getting the food there. That's, you know, like the kitchen.
Cleanup breakdown.
Blah, blah, blah.
Every bit of it. So if you take all that goes into getting lunch ready for our students every day, on average across the country, so like I said, we're 100% free and reduced. Some schools are 0%, but on average across the country, it's going to work out to be about 90 cents a lunch.
Okay.
So and that's going to balance itself out because this is public. So it's not the wealthier public schools are getting better than our public school.
No.
We're all on average feeding our kids with about 90 cents worth of food.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. And
well, it's disgusting because 90 cents of vegan food, like, this is could get you somewhere. But to get you 90 cents for meat and dairy products, that's just really, really low-grade meat and dairy products.
Yeah, and they get that the meat and chicken for free, or the beef and chicken, not for free, but that's the stuff that's bought up in quantity.
Yeah.
So this is, this 90 cents doesn't even necessarily count as that. I read some crazy stuff that some schools, because they don't have time to deal with it, for every like $5 of free chicken that they get, they spend like $14 processing it into like chicken nuggets.
Ew.
And chicken sticks and chicken rings. And like chicken, you saw rings. Chicken rings. So these schools are these, I mean, we work for a massive district. They bring, you know, they get these huge quantities of meat and they have to process the bejesus out of it, which again takes more nutrients out of it.
Do they process it in like our facilities?
In-house? No, they ship that off and that costs more money.
Okay, so they're like, hey, I'm going to buy that bulk of chicken, and then that bulk of chicken goes somewhere else, gets processed into Chicken O's, and then it gets shipped to our district.
Yep, and then we drop it in an oven and put it on a plate.
And then my students refuse to eat the Chicken O's.
And then, yeah, and then that's the other thing. A lot of times they don't even know what it is. And
no.
That's...
I've asked my students, like, what's for lunch? And they were like, I don't know, something on a bun.
Yeah. And it's criminal. It's scary that we've gotten to this point where I don't know any teacher or even parent of these free and reduced student kids or any typical American kid that would eat this food.
No.
They would... go out of their way to eat this food.
It used to. Like, the high school that I went to, teachers had their lunch with us, and they would... There was, like, a teacher table. It was, like, in high school. Like, they were just typical kids, and they'd sit at this table and eat their food. They'd eat the food that the cafeteria provided.
Well, I'd go
That's
down there.
That's not the thing anymore.
And I used to eat it.
Really?
Not... Yeah, I mean, I used to like really crappy processed food. Mm. And, you know, the mac and cheese was good, or... maybe the pizza was okay, but now if I go down there, I can get a pretty, you know, decent salad. You can ask them if you can throw some extra vegetables on it.
No, they don't provide any salad dressing but ranch.
Yeah, just ranch. And nothing's really that fresh either.
No. No, the oranges, they get like free. Well, it's all free, but there's like a bowl of fruit. And it's always like that. They're like miniature oranges, but not like cuties. They're just oranges that suck. Like, the produce they get really isn't the best.
Well, this will put it all into perspective. Apparently, hen meat, or
what's
is
hen?
It, what's a hen? Has a hen like
hen,
it's an old chicken, right?
That's I thought a hen is just a chicken that lays eggs.
Well, when the hen stops laying eggs at the rate that's beneficial for an egg farmer.
They take him to like a hen nursing home?
Yes.
A henitentiary? You like that one?
It's pretty good. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I got that joke. Sometimes I just plow right over
him. Yeah, I got to be like, hey, do you hear me?
Because I don't listen
to
you.
Do I got
to
say it again? A henitentiary.
Good one, Lisa. Well, no, guess what? They don't. But I guess they're meat is shit.
Where do they go? They go to be killed.
Well,
way worse.
They tried to, and nobody wanted it. Kentucky Fried Chicken or KFC, even McDonald's will not buy this stuff because the meat is such shit.
Low grade
meat. From an old ass egg laying chicken that's been crammed in a cage with other chickens for God knows how long.
Lived a horrible life.
The meat is that bad that McDonald's and KFC won't buy it. Guess who
so
will?
Who bought it?
The U.S. government, and they feed it to our kids.
And that's what's making Chicken O's?
That's what's making Chicken O's, but that's indicative of everything that we're talking about here, whether it be the cutie or the tomato or the carton of milk. It's kind of what no one else wants.
It's Well, it's discounted food, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically the whole gist of this, is that our school lunches were bought by our government from leftover food that no one else wanted to buy. If they wanted to buy it, they would have bought it, and it wouldn't have been available for our government to buy and give to our students. And now our students are eating these shitty processed foods. They're not performing in schools. There's a hell of a lot of like side effects or repercussions for them eating this food or not eating this food because it's the only thing available for them. And then, you know, like the whole thing's going to shit and we wonder what's going on. And then there's just me and Mr. Murray, sixth period after lunch, trying to teach some kids something. And they're like, I don't fucking want to hear you. And I'm like, I get it, man. I understand.
That's the other big part of this. Yeah, not only are we not setting them up for the future, they feel like shit.
Yes. Have you ever ate a shitty meal and then had to go back to work and or like didn't produce? Eat one
because it was shitty?
Yeah.
A lot of them don't eat at all. And if they do,
no, they throw. I do lunch duty, and I would venture to say that half of the food on their plates is thrown away.
Do you know that? Up until, this is federal law, up through elementary school into middle school, of the five things that you have, you are allowed to refuse one of them.
Okay.
So you have to take four.
Wait. And then in the line, yeah. Not like they have to force feed you.
No, but in high school, it's three things.
Okay.
So even if the kid wants one thing, they're putting everything on your plate.
Oh.
In the mornings.
What? Who made that rule?
So to make them government.
That probably came from a good place. They're like, you guys are hungry. We're going to make
it.
You eat.
Yeah, you should eat it.
Okay, that makes sense.
But again, they're not getting things that are going to make them feel alive and well and happy. And unfortunately, for a lot of our kids in this country, this is the first and last meal that they have all day.
Yeah. Yeah, like when we have snow days, that's always a consideration when they decide to have a snow day or not. It's like, if you have a snow day, on our conscience is that, you know, there's out of our 30,000 students that go to our district, there's probably like, I don't know, I don't want to put a number on that, but there's a good chunk of them that aren't going to eat today because they didn't go to school. And that's so sad, but it's extra sad to know that when those kids are eating at our school, we're not giving them nutritious food that's, you know, good for their lives. We're giving them food that's making them obese, giving them diseases, and making them like slow and sad in class and not learning anything.
And I thought this was just a problem that we had, but I also just saw this statistic that the average student, guess how long their lunch period is today? 30, I feel like this has 30, changed.
35 minutes.
25.
That's another thing wrong with that.
That's what ours is. That doesn't count. Washing your hands, taking a piss, waiting in line, paying for food, all that's in that 25 minutes.
God forbid you want to socialize with your friends for a sec.
So they say across this country, the average amount of time that you sit down with the food in front of you,
it's like 5 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Yeah, that's not cool either.
That's terrible.
Not good eating habits. You got to sit down. You got to chew your food.
Yeah. And
wash it down with water? Do you want to talk about what they get to drink?
Yeah, let's
water is not available. Do you know what's available? Milk. That's the only thing you get.
Literally the only thing. In the morning, you could get juice with your milk. You have to take the milk, though. You cannot just take the juice. But when you go to a lunch in any public school across this country, you do not have the choice for a bottle of water. Now, I don't think you should get a bottle of water for a lot of reasons, the bottle portion of it particularly. We have a lot of wasted plastic, but
we do.
You can't get a cup of water. You can't get a glass of water. You can't get water.
Just
you
a
have
carton
to
of milk.
Take a carton of skim or chocolate or 2% milk. That in our school, I don't know if this is everywhere, is most of the time at its date of expiration.
Yeah, definitely.
Or maybe a day or two after.
That's pretty upsetting.
The kids like to dig way into that cabinet to try to find a carton that's
one?
A couple days not expired.
I don't know if this is the case in other situations, but I was talking to my sister-in-law a couple months back, and she said that if you want to I was going to send our child to daycare and I didn't have to because we have a babysitter that comes to us. But she was like, if you want your kid not to have milk, then you have to get a doctor's note to say that your child is lactose intolerant. We haven't studied up on this. I don't want to like throw
no,
out like
no, fake that's a real thing in daycares. I think it does go into schools also.
Like if I don't want my kid going off in elementary school drinking milk, I have to send a doctor's note that says no, they're lactose intolerant.
Yeah,
I cannot express to you like how pissed off that makes me.
Well, I think that goes. I mean, you can't be mad at the facility because that just makes it a complication for them because they just give every kid milk. But here's what.
But can't my kid just not want the milk? Just say like no, thanks, I don't want that.
But they have to take it. Like in our school, if you walk into our cafeteria in the morning, there's a table that they can put it on after they've left the line so they don't just toss it right in the garbage. It's kind of like a little community pool that I didn't want my milk. I'm going to put it into this pool, but I had to take it. And then maybe Johnny Joe over here wants 6 milks. He can just go grab it. Same with their fruits. Same but with I don't their vegetables.
Want my. I don't want my kid even.
Walking
I don't want
off
him,
the line with it.
I don't want anything to do with that milk.
Yeah, and he has to. But this just reminded me of something
He's
too.
He's not gonna fucking have to.
They do make the accommodations for allergies. And I don't want to get into allergies. I know you have a lot of opinions on allergies, but peanut allergies and stuff.
I have an allergy to dairy in my heart. That's what I always used to say when we go to restaurants and I was like, ooh, does that have milk or does that have cheese on it? And they'd be like, oh, do you have a dairy allergy? And I'd be like, yes, I do. In my heart. Because
yeah.
It was like embarrassing to say, but yeah, fucking accommodate
That's not what I'm
my
talking
choices.
About, though. Like peanut butter and stuff, they'll make a different table for that.
Well, make a different table for I don't want to kill and be a part of abusing cows and or chickens.
Yeah, and going back to something we talked about a while ago, and we're talking a little bit more about impoverished neighborhoods, the demographics here, mm-hmm. African Americans and Hispanics, mm-hmm. more than half of them, I don't know the exact numbers, I know it's more than half, are lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
They're allergic to fucking milk. We've talked about this. We think we're all allergic to milk.
But they're like more so than
Asians,
others.
I mean, we're not because we're pumping it into our bodies before we can even
sit up. But we have been for generation upon generation. Like a typical white person's been eating more milk and dairy products than an Hispanic or an Asian or an African American.
Yeah.
Isn't that why our bodies would probably be a little bit more inclined
yeah,
to?
Yeah, we've forced ourselves to become tolerant of it.
Whereas like an Asian diet, milk isn't necessarily a normal part of it.
In our impoverished communities, which have higher populations of Black, Hispanic, Asian, all sorts of immigrant populations at a higher amount, we are pumping them full of something that they're actually intolerant of, they're actually allergic to, and that actually fucks their body up. And no one's even like sneezing at it. Like no one's even thinking about that.
No.
They are thinking about it, but it's just par for the course. It's just what we do. Whew, we're really fired up about
deep.
This.
This is deep into it. Well, this is just such like a, it's very close to, I feel like, our hearts. And I feel like this made us really upset today because, you know, we work in a school and we see this going on and we feel a little helpless to it. But yet we sat down today and we were like, we should do something about this. Like maybe we'll have an open, you know, dinner or something for our kids or something that they can go to yeah. so we can teach them how to eat. But this is just, you know, we teach these kids, we see them progressively get, you know, eat these foods and they're not thriving by any means. And we're trying to teach them, you know, no teacher gets into teaching to the reason why you get into teaching is because you want to help kids.
Yeah,
and we're in there trying to help them and we see these terrible things happening to them and we know this other side. We're like, you know, if you eat this other lifestyle, this diet, you can live this different lifestyle. And it's, you can't force these kids to do this, but it's just very disheartening to see that they're eating these foods and it's making them sick and it's not helping. And I'm paying for it. You're paying for it. Like, it's terrible. It's so upsetting.
There has to be something we can do. And there are some things that have been done, but it does obviously strike us pretty hard because we are teachers and, you know, we see these kids as much as we'll see our own kids. But they're your kids, they're our kids, they're our community's kids, and they're going to be our adults. And we talk about health and we talk about healthcare and the environment and all this other stuff. Obesity is what, how many kids are?
One in three Americans are overweight or obese. So it's like overweight and then obese is like the next step up. But one in three are overweight or obese.
And
that's disgusting and not like a judgmental disgusting way. That's disgusting and like a, oh my God, the health ramifications of that.
And they're kids. They didn't do it to themselves. If you're in third grade and you're obese, I'm sorry, it's not your fault.
No.
It's your parents' fault. It's your school's fault. It's your community's fault. It's whoever's putting food in front of you's fault. And that might sound harsh, but it's somebody's fault. If you're an obese 6-year-old, it's somebody's fault and somebody's doing you an injustice. Someone is making you sick And unfortunately, a lot of the times it's your school, it's your public school, and you don't know any better as you're growing up. So you have pizza as an option every single day.
Or obviously going to take it.
Or ice cream as a dessert every single day. My 8-year-old son has an option to get an ice cream sundae after he eats his lunch pretty much every day of the week. He knows he shouldn't or can't because his parents don't want him to or won't let him, but no. We're not there. And there's not always a parent to say that you shouldn't eat an ice cream sandwich every single freaking day.
Do you know
that
the other day we had a package of Swedish fish and it was a whole package like that you'd get at like the movie theater. And he was like, can I have some Swedish fish? And I was like, yeah, you can have a couple. Because he, like, ate his dinner. I'm real, like, stingy. I'm super mean with the food. Like, I make him eat, like, foods that he doesn't want to eat, and he gets upset. But we had some Swedish fish, and he was like, can I have some? I was like, yeah, sure, you can have a couple. And then, like, I went back in the cabinet, and there was, like, an empty box of Swedish fish. And I was like, did this motherfucker just eat the whole box of Swedish fish? So I freaked out because it was like a package, like an entire package of Swedish fish. It's like, he's going to be bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
So I go up to his room and I was like, James, did you eat all these Swedish fish? Like, freaking out. And he was like, oh, my God. He, like, freaked out. He was like, no, I just, like, took, like, 3 or 4 out. And then, like, he took, like, the plastic bag of them out and then threw, like, the box away. But I was, like, freaking out. And I was like, this kid's so, like, he's, like, not going to, like, abuse,
no,
like, the rules on this.
That's hilarious. Because he asked me, like, recently, Dad, how many Swedish fish? Or no, they were Sour Patch Kids. He was like, how many can I have? And I was like, I don't know, you can have, like, 6. And he was like, 6? And I was like, well,
I'm like,
I don't
you can
know.
Have one
I was
and
like,
a half.
You know what? You can have one serving.
And how much was one serving?
Like, oh, I can have a serving? And I was like, yeah, thinking like, that's not 6.
Yeah.
And he looked in the back and it was like 14. And he Jesus. Was like, Dad, I can't eat 14 of these. But anyways, a lot of these kids don't have that, you know,
no,
that
they don't
voice
have parents
reason.
At home saying you can have 1.5 Swedish fish.
Even if they do, they're not like honest to a fault. I wouldn't have, you know, I would have gone to school. I did go to school and eat whatever the hell I wanted. But I didn't have this many bad choices, or maybe I did. I don't know. Maybe this is not.
No.
It's not a fairly new thing. But
no, we haven't researched this, but there was a difference in the processing of foods because when I went to the district,
yeah. It just wasn't as processed.
I work in the district that I went to when I was a student up until high school, and every kid in this district. We toured the facility where they make the food and we saw them make the food. We got a cookie. It was like the, you know, everyone had to go on this field trip and that changed. No one goes to this place where they make the food anymore. It's like a secret, but that changed somewhere when I left the school until now that it's all processed from other places. There's
like
no making of the food.
It's like you read my mind. We're just so good at this.
Why? Is that what I was...
This is going to be my
next topic.
The end here. No, like, this is what has changed.
What?
This is where food becomes a problem, when you don't know what the hell you're eating or where it came from.
Oh, okay.
And that's perfect. Well done. Yeah. I don't know where this food comes from. Our kids don't know where it comes from. They don't know what it is. I work there. I pay the taxes. I live in the community. I have no clue. I tried to look it up. I could not figure out where the largest school district in the state of Ohio gets its freaking food from. As a taxpayer, as a teacher, as a parent, nobody knows. This stuff isn't public knowledge. And
that's upsetting.
It's an afterthought. Even when it comes to a recall, I was reading. It's
couldn't
an afterthought.
Couldn't figure out where it came from?
They don't even know when they have these massive meat recalls.
Mm-hmm.
They can trace it back to every single grocery store. You get phone calls. You ever got a phone call, like a robo dial?
Well,
saying,
no, because I don't buy meat.
Well, they recall vegetables too sometimes, very rarely, but they can't track this back to the schools. It's so lost in a system of bureaucracy that no one knows where it's coming from. And at the end of the day, and you've said this a million times, I've said it a million times, you don't have to be vegan. We think you should. You'll live the greatest, longest, healthiest life. But at least know what you're eating and when you're eating it and be mindful of it. And these kids don't know that. And when you show them where their food comes from, that's when you start to see a change. And that's what we can do. And that's what schools have done.
Well, it's upsetting
to fix this problem. They went back to that.
It's upsetting, for a lot of reasons, but you know, when our kids they're dying for that information of how to eat healthy and how to sustain it. You know, the last podcast I said something about, you know, I'll whip out like a strawberry and the kids are like, what the fuck is that? You know, like they're so excited to eat that. But that doesn't come in their lap all the time. They don't have that opportunity to eat these fresh foods. And so the fact that we're giving these kids this terribly processed food and we're not giving them an option of fresh food and we're not giving them the option of even like where to get it or, you know, I don't know. Like I tell them I'm vegan and they're like, what does that mean? Like they have no idea. And it's just they want it so bad. I've had a ton of kids come up to me since we started this podcast and it's kind of embarrassing because it's obviously a very explicit podcast, but they're very interested and intrigued and wondering like, what is this lifestyle? I want to be healthy. This looks healthy. Like, please tell me more.
Yeah. They want to be in shape. They want to feel better. And some of them have lived their whole lives unhealthy and unfit and overweight.
Right. Without them. I mean, I think that like their lifestyle is probably inundated them with a bunch of bad food, but there's a part of them that know, you know, like, I don't want to eat these foods. I don't think this is good for me. I don't think eating food and then feeling shitty for the rest of the day is healthy and I don't want to do it. And it's just heartbreaking to know that we're shoving this down these students' throats, you know, posing that as healthy or posing as this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is the foods you're supposed to be eating. Like, that's so sad to me that these students are getting just like a shitty life. Like, they're given this, like, shitty fucking, like, situation. And they're just making it worse.
And it's an opportunity. And it does come down to it's difficult to, you know, have public funding for anything. We'd love to spend $10 a kid and give them the best, freshest, most wonderful things they've ever eaten. But
could we give them, like, $1.50? Like, well, $3 maybe?
Even for the $2.77 whittled down to 90 cents, we could be giving them a fantastic, healthy meal with some options.
Vegetables don't cost that much money.
No, especially if you grow them yourself.
I could feed everyone for 90 cents.
Well, there's been some schools that have done that, whether it's on the rooftops in New York City or in the rural areas of California. There have been school districts that have supplemented with this federal funding and this federal money, but grew their own food and saw where it was grown and taught the kids how to grow it and pick it themselves and eat it themselves. So they're not, you know, they're not making vegan lunch programs. They're making real food lunch programs where the kids have ownership and they understand what they're eating and they've, in some instances, grown what they're eating.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I hope that someday we can get to that. But I don't know. I just I want to stop feeding our kids shit.
Yeah.
Specifically our kids.
Yeah, our students.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in conclusion here, when it comes to the government and the school lunches, there's a conflict here because the USDA is kind of who's in charge of all this. And they have a few different roles. And when it comes to school lunches, they contradict themselves. The USDA makes sure that we get good, healthy, not healthy, but safe food. It's their job to make sure that the food that we eat is safe, but it's also their job to promote industry.
Okay.
And that's where
why is that also their job?
It's kind of where they came from. They came out of, you know, food safety first off, but then to make sure businesses don't have, you know, these surpluses. They kind of got the job during the Great Depression of making sure we weren't just wasting food while people are starving to death.
Okay, that makes sense.
But that contradicts itself in this instance because if you're feeding kids food that's not safe and that it's surplus and that it's old and that it's not the best quality, you're also not promoting, or you're doing that to promote industry, but you're not promoting health.
Okay.
And to fix all that's going to be difficult also, but
maybe someday.
As we move forward, what can we do?
I don't know. Make food for kids? What can we do?
Well, we're teachers, so we see kids every day. But I would say every district
pack
has some kind of health initiative has some kind of, you know, organization that where people are interested in this, and we can try to get involved in that, have the conversations. At least we're trying to educate right now people to what's happening. But I think it goes beyond just telling a kid, don't eat that at school. We need to make sure there's a way to get these things into schools. And whether it's Michelle Obama or
bitch and complain to your school districts.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best place, or your local news. Start with that. But there are programs that can get started and things we can get involved in. And we're going to try to do that and help our district.
Lisa beats your students meet.
We're not going to.
Beats kids meet.
I don't know if that'll work. But
I'm just trying to make a difference.
We'll see. That'll make the news. but that's school lunches. Look, keep an eye out for our next one. We're really excited about a good interview. And as always, questions, concerns, likes, shares, follows, all that good stuff. We love it.
Yeah. All right. That was good. Sorry if I got a little heated about school lunches.
Yeah. We love our actual kids. We love our students.
I don't want them to be sick and dying and obese.
We being the collective, you all listening, this is our communities. This is our future. And what we put in our bodies is literally what fuels everything that happens everywhere. So
right. Yeah, not even just disease and preventing disease or whatever. What you put in your body dictates how you feel that day. And if you're putting shit in your body, you're going to feel fucking shitty.
Amen, sister.
That's just the bottom line.
I love it. Drop the mic on that.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go get my crying baby now.
All right.
Cry it out, man. It's a new thing. It's not really working.
Lisa beats your meat, number 19.
Okay.
Out.
We'll see you. Good night.